Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and your phone calls here on New Life. Glad you're with us today.
Welcome to a classic program from the archives of New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life is celebrating its 30th year of ministry this year, 30 years of transforming lives one at a time thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. New Life is dedicated to helping you in life's hardest places. All of our calls for this classic program have already been taken, but if you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop. Dave, good to see you.
Good to see you, Steve.
And we are thrilled that everybody has joined us today. Summer coming to a close.
Oh,
we've got a lot of things to do. And I want to go right to our phones and start off with Yvonne from Rockville, Maryland, listening on WAVA. Hi, Yvonne. Welcome to New Life.
Hi, guys. How are you? Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes, we can. Yeah. What's going on?
I know when the young lady, I spoke to the young lady earlier, she was saying, I told her why I was calling. But as the time was going and I was thinking, you know, I told her that for some reason I think I'm addicted to gambling. But when I think about it, I'm making all sorts of mistakes in my life. I'm 32 years old and I feel like I'm going crazy. Mm. Just, you know, I just can't get it right.
Yeah, and what does the gambling do for you? How do you feel when you win?
A rush.
A rush, uh-huh.
Rush.
And how do you feel when you don't win?
Feel really like, you know, like really like, oh, I can't believe this. You know, mm-hmm. It's been all this money and nothing.
All right. But if I asked you, how does gambling make you feel? What do you think you would say?
I don't know. It makes me feel sad.
You don't think you would say, oh, it's great. It's one of the greatest, most fun things I do.
No. Because I got baptized when I was like 13 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 32 now, and you know, a lot of that money that I spend gambling and stuff could be used into so much things, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I'm just making a lot of bad mistakes. I don't know.
What other kind of mistakes are you making, Yvonne? I'm giving us another example besides the gambling.
When I left California. I was out there for 10 years, and that's where it kind of started with the casinos and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back. I came to get my life back on track, and I met this guy, and I got pregnant, which he's a really nice guy. You know, very, very nice.
I think any guy that gets you pregnant got to be a nice guy, don't you?
You know, you're making me blush.
Well, I bet he didn't, too. Didn't he make you blush a little bit?
Yeah, but he was really happy about it. You know, and now I'm trying to get him to marry, you know, because I didn't want to have another child out of wedlock.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to get him to marry, and he's scared to marry, so I don't know.
But he's still a nice guy, though, even though he doesn't want to marry you after he's gotten you pregnant.
He isn't. I've known him for 20 years. He really is.
He's so nice. He just is irresponsible.
No, I'm not.
20 years.
That's what I think my life is just going really out of control. I don't know how to stop. I don't know. My Christian walk is down the drain. I don't know.
What kind of support groups are you in? Are you in any Bible studies? Are you involved with church?
I used to be when I was in, you know, Southern California.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved back like 2 years ago. I really had a nice support group that was there, you know, but it was just something I don't know. I don't even know why I came back here. I don't know.
And so so you've been back there 10 years?
No. I've been back here.
Uh-huh.
I lived in California,
oh, okay.
Southern California,
2 years.
San Diego
okay.
for
yeah.
10 years.
Okay. But you don't have, you know, a fellowship. You don't have close friends that know what's going on in your life that can plug in.
Mm-hmm. I don't. I think that's what I kind of missed out there, you know, because we had a really nice church that I went to. If I called the name, you'd know it.
Well,
and we had Celebrate Recovery, and, you know, I was involved in that, and...
Well, you got a lot of churches like that out where you live, too.
Yeah. So,
and that's probably where you need to begin. We need to go to a break, so hold on.
Okay. Now, I want to mention something to you. New Life loves to travel with its New Life listeners and supporters. and we have a very, very special trip. We're going to go to Israel, and we're going to go to Rome. And you can find out about it by going to newlife.com. We'll be back for more New Life Live right after this.
My story includes multiple physical and emotional affairs.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
My wife found out that I had betrayed her. She insisted that I would go to the everyman's battle. I had some idea, perhaps, of what to expect, but I had no idea that it would have the impact on me that it did. There's just something about the way that you meet in a large group and then the smaller breakout groups. And the sharing is just something that I've never experienced before.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or log on to newlife.com.
This is the first time in my life that I ever felt comfortable in sharing the real me with other men. In my mind, it is one of the most critical things that a guy can do in his recovery.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome back to this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and your phone calls. And we're talking with Yvonne, who has been acquainted with a man 20 years, who's a really nice guy, got her pregnant, won't marry her. And so how else could we help you with this?
I don't know. I'm just really scared. I want to get back on track.
Yeah.
You know, with the Lord. I pray all the time, but I know if I continue with my sin and my struggles, I just feel like God has locked me out. I just feel abandoned. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, but you know what they always say about that is, guess who moved? You know, it's not God that moves. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you've got to start doing some things that are the right thing for you and for your relationship with God. And one of those is you got to really get into a good fellowship, and you got to get some women in your life that will care for you and will hold you accountable, who love the Lord, because you don't have that. You're just kind of out there floundering, it sounds like, the way you describe it. Right?
That's what it sounds like. Yeah,
You've proven that on your own you don't do too well.
No.
And so the question would be, do you want to do well enough that you would make the difficult move of connecting with people in a whole new and different way?
I do.
Okay. So what's preventing you from doing that?
That's the thing. I don't know. I don't.
Well, what do you think it could be?
I think a lot of it is gambling, too, you know.
Well, let's just say that there are a couple of things that occur when you aren't connected to other people. You gamble to feel better.
Yeah.
And let's say you maybe have sex every now and then with a nice guy.
I do.
And get pregnant. Okay, so if we could treat the thing that keeps you away from deep, intimate connection with women, then maybe we would have an impact on both the gambling, the sex, the nice guys that maybe aren't so very nice,
the boredom.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Boredom. Could it stem from loneliness? Because I am lonely here.
Sure. And with loneliness is boredom, you know, and so that's why the gambling is there. It kind of fills in the hole, but it doesn't really fill it in. It just kind of anesthetizes, you know, where you're at. And I think, you know, again, we've said a number of times how illogical relationships are, and how, you know, everything that we do to try harder to fix something only, you know, doesn't work. And so we got to do something different, something that's kind of off the wall. And what's off the wall in your situation, Yvonne, is I got to find some solid, good Christian lady friends who are going to hold me accountable, who are going to love me, who are going to accept me, and show me grace. And you start building that, and these other pieces will start to fall into place. If you don't do that, you're just going to keep trying on your own, and it's not going to happen. Does that make sense? It doesn't make sense, but it makes sense, but it doesn't make sense. I know.
Yeah, it's difficult, you know. Just, mm-hmm. just
there's, I mean, you're near D.C. There's some wonderful churches out there that have Celebrate. What I do is I'd look for a church that has Celebrate Recovery. Mm-hmm. And I'd go to Celebrate Recovery a couple places and see which one really kind of is happening, where it's really moving. And then I'd explore more in that, and I'd get into a women's group and start to build some relationships. And I will guarantee you, you'll see the gambling start to go away. You'll feel differently about men and about your own body, and it'll make a big difference for you.
Okay. All right, I'll try then. How about I call you back in about 3 months?
Okay. That sounds like a great idea.
Okay, but mm-hmm. So what are you going to do? Different.
Don't try now. What are you going to do? What's okay, the first thing?
First of all, I'm going to try to find a church here in my area and try to go to Celebrate Recovery.
Good.
And see how to see. So just take your advice to see how you know go to different ones to see you know which one fits me better.
Right. Okay.
And probably stop sleeping with that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, I heard it probably. But not
most likely.
Huh?
Most likely, I have to stop. I just feel like a lot of this is just sinful. It's just sin, you know.
Yeah, and then you feel shame, and you feel guilt, and
I feel a lot of guilt.
Yeah, and then what do? You get a diversion, go gamble.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, and the issue isn't whether or not it's sin. The issue is why do you sin when you know it is absolutely unhealthy and unrewarding for you? That's the big question.
Steve, I don't really know how to answer that right now.
Because you're disconnected from other women who would lead you the other direction, because the connection that would have helped you do that easily was not there. Your brokenness from your mom, do you think, could be the very reason that you're disconnected from other women today?
I never thought about it that way. I also thought I had a decent relationship, maybe not a close one, but a decent relationship with my mom. I've never thought about that.
Well, what does decent mean? Is that like the nice guy you dating that won't marry you?
No.
No?
She's a good mom. She was a single mom.
Yeah.
Like myself, you know, worked really hard. You know, really didn't have much time.
Did you share secrets with her?
No.
Oh, see, I know a mom who's so close to her kids that she can talk to them about masturbation, about premarital sex. There are no secrets between them. When I think of that, I think, now there's somebody that's learning to connect under the most difficult, humiliating circumstance, a child. But see, a lot of times we think mom was okay, and she was, but she didn't teach us the one life skill that we really need, and that is the connecting life skill with people of the same sex.
And it's common. It's about half. So it's not unusual, unfortunately.
Interesting.
Yeah. So now what are you going to do?
I don't know. I just know I can't continue this way. I don't.
No, okay. So what if you started working on dealing with the reality of your mother and your relationship with her?
Should I start by calling her? And we talk all the time.
I wouldn't call and talk to her. I would talk to somebody else about her.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Is that a little baby crying in the background?
No, he's just saying, bah, bah, that's my little one.
Yeah. And so there's a question for you, is what will you model for the little one? And I think you can model some great, great stuff.
I hope so, because I just feel like, you know, with my life going out of, you know, control and all, mm-hmm. I feel like I don't have time and emotional connection to my son, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're going like 10 different directions, and you're thinking about your own life.
Okay. That follows through. That's always what happens.
What do you think would be good to send her, Dave, that might help her move from knowing what to do to doing it?
Well, reframe your life.
Okay.
Would be a good one.
That's coming your way. And anybody else, if you want it, you can get it at 1-800-NEW-LIFE or at newlife.com. All right, let's jump over here, and why don't we go to, been holding a bit, Carrie from Albany, New York. Hi, Carrie.
Hello.
What's going on?
Oh, a lot.
Okay, but let's hear it.
I just wanted to say first that I've been listening to you guys a long time, and I have to say that I think that you've grown a lot spiritually in the years that I've been listening to you, and that's very encouraging to me.
Well, thank you. Yeah. We knew we had grown a lot, and we were really hoping someone had noticed just how much we had grown. So thank you for pointing that out. Now, really, how can we help you?
I have two 17-year-old twin girls.
Okay.
Who I adopted when they were 14.
Mm-hmm.
Their grandmother, who had adopted them when they were two with her husband,
mm-hmm.
passed away. I was their babysitter for their whole life, so I already had an established relationship.
How's it going? How's it going?
It's going. It's not that easy. It's been difficult. It's a very, very long story. It would take me all day. But basically, the bottom line is they lived in a home that was pretty much grieving from the time they were six until their mom died. She was very sick. Mm. And first his mother died, and then her mother died, and then his father died, and then...
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You know, it was just like one death after another. Then their grandfather had a stroke, and he was very ill, and she was already sick, and they didn't connect with people. They had no help.
Mm.
And he became very verbally abusive, their grandfather. And they also, along the way, were sexually abused. And this is beginning to, like, I knew about a lot of this stuff. The sexual abuse actually is just came out, and they, you know, we're beginning to deal with it.
Okay, so how can we help you?
Okay, I'm sorry, I'm getting to that.
No problem.
Okay.
I deal with depression and anger and anxiety, and they have a need for a father and abandonment issues, and I just want to be sure that I'm giving them everything that they need. And we go to church, we have a very involved family life. They're both, one of them's in counseling, the other one's going to be going to counseling, mm-hmm. starting this week.
That's good.
Do
you have other children, Carrie?
Yes, I have a 3-year-old.
A 3-year-old, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what could we do for you? How could we help?
If you just have any other resources that you can suggest to me that I can get to these children, books or tapes or people or whatever they need. I just want to make sure that I'm getting everything to them that they need.
Well, it sounds like, you know, what they really need is somebody that's going to stand with them and love them. I don't know that any book's going to help you with that. With kind of things that you're describing them having experienced is that they probably have a tough time letting anybody get into their life. And they're pretty well protected and defensive. And the counseling is probably one of the most important things they can get, where there's somebody that they can talk to that's not, you know, that isn't at home to where it's scary that, you know, if I really tell you what I'm thinking, you might leave me.
Mad at me.
Or you
or
might
leave me, yeah.
Yeah, and
I
and,
deal with that a lot.
Or reject me, yeah. And but it also is a kind of counseling where maybe you ought to all be in counseling together. You know, your husband, yourself, your kid, those two kids, and somebody's working with you as a unit. Because to get somebody when they're 14, boy, that's a big, big, big step. And there's so many wounds in these girls that you're trying to do so much, and I honor you for that, and you need to see it as this is a calling from the Lord, that He's called me to do this, and you know, all I can do is the best. And here's the important thing for you to remember: if you become the perfect mom to them, that's bad news.
Trust me, I'll never be perfect.
Okay, but you're trying to fill in all the gaps. You know, all you have to be is good enough. But they have special needs, and counseling is probably the most important thing they can get. Not just because of the abuse, but because of the losses that they've experienced with family members. So I just keep doing what you're doing. I can't add anything to what you've described.
Get support for you.
Yeah.
Connection for
church.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Demand it of your church, because you really do need it. All right, I'm glad you called, and I'm going to send you Raising Great Kids, Boundaries with Teens. Hope that those will be helpful to you. We have Intimacy in Marriage. That's going to be September the 21st in Dallas, Texas. I hope you'll be there. Please come join us for an amazing, amazing time of healing and restoration. We'd love to see you there. We'll take a break, and we'll come right back for more of New Life Live.
Most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Last year, after Every Man's Battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
As you're doing God's work here, you're restoring marriages, you're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. You can write us at P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Now back to New Life Live.
All right, we're back. Ann, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, WORD. Hi, Ann. Welcome to New Life. How are you?
Hello, how are you?
Good. What can we do for you today?
Well, I was wondering how I go about telling my little girl, my five-year-old, who her biological mother is.
Why would you need to tell your five-year-old that?
Because her biological mother is my niece.
Okay.
And my niece is in my life, and my niece has three other little girls, and my little girl knows that those are all her sisters. So at some point, she's going to start to begin to question.
Right, okay. And you think now would be the best time?
Well, that's kind of part of the advice I'm seeking from you.
I'm not saying it isn't. I'm just wanting to know, you know, what's going on. You didn't think you needed to at four, and you think five's it. Just want to make sure this is the right time.
Well, the other issue is her one older sister has already said that to her a couple of times.
Okay. Well, that really does make it a good time.
Well, but has she asked you? Ann?
No.
Okay. I would wait till she asks you. Because, you know, at five, kids still have what's called magical thinking, where logic is kind of an unnecessary evil. And so they can connect things together and, you know, never, you know, they just live kind of in a magical world. So you tell her that. I don't know that she'd really understand it yet. Maybe when she's six or seven, she'll come and say, you know, how can they be my sisters and not live with us? You know, then you know that, okay, now's the time to do it. But I wouldn't rush it. I wouldn't avoid it, but I wouldn't rush it either, because even if the older sister has said something, it doesn't have meaning to a five-year-old.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And then when that question does pop up, I'd like to be prepared to at least start to answer it.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a resource I can go to, or something I can read ahead of time? Or?
Well, what do you think would be, what's a good approach, Dave, to telling someone?
Well, I would just be, you know, I'm always thinking of that story where the kid asks his mom, where did I come from? And the mom goes into this whole biological thing, and then he says, oh, okay. He says, Johnny came from Rockport, Indiana. I just wondered where I came from, you know. Because they, you know, so it's like, I would just give her the basics in that, you know, well, your biological mom had you and wasn't able to take care of you, and so I jumped at the chance to become your mom, and you're related to all of these people, but you're still my daughter. And I mean, I just make it simple. I don't know that you have to get into a heavy research project to figure out how to say it. I would just answer very briefly what she asked, and if she asked more questions, I would answer those briefly. I wouldn't hold anything back, but I wouldn't embellish on it very much unless she asks about it.
And it might be good to say that your biological mother had a baby, not mm-hmm. you. Mm. I like this. Now, she had a baby, and this was her situation, and she had this baby, didn't know what to do, couldn't take care of the baby. Now, you were that, or I've come to know you, but you weren't really you when that baby was born. Your mom didn't know you. She didn't, you know, say, oh, I don't like this child here. She just couldn't take care of her baby. I'm just trying to depersonalize the rejection mm-hmm. a little bit from the ground up. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then hold on tight, because, you know, sometimes the adoption statistics aren't great because of the separation and other things. But many times I think the reason the statistics aren't great is because of our reaction or defensiveness or our eggshell walking around mm-hmm. the issue. And I can tell you, I don't know how my daughter will end up, but I can tell you I have an adopted daughter who the statistics just don't apply to her. She's mm-hmm. an amazing human being. So, you know, it's not a hopeless situation. It's not one you want to freak out over. Things can actually work out quite well.
I've got an adopted grandson who's known from day one that he was adopted simply because he's another race. And he's
pretty clear to figure it out with him.
And he's well-adjusted and very much in our family and a part of everything.
And an absolute doll, too.
Yes. So, you know, I just take it one step at a time. And don't fear it. Just know that at some point it's going to be meaningful to her, and at that point that's when you'll have your little talk.
Okay.
And then one other thing, the perspective of this is how God worked it out so that I could be your mother.
That's what I was looking
yeah.
for.
And then just to say, man, it's so interesting how God worked so that I could be your mother, which I'm convinced I was supposed to be since the beginning of time. And on Madeline's college application, her essay, she said, I was adopted at birth, but it seems as if it was always meant to be. Mm-hmm. I just love that.
Yeah, that's
love
beautiful.
Aww. Yeah.
So that's what you're shooting.
And the whole idea of choice, that I was able to choose you. Yeah. Because that's not, you know, the biological child just comes and you take what you get.
Right.
When you adopt, I was able to choose. And that would be another thing I'd say to her.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Glad you called. And Sherry Eldridge is an author. You can go to Amazon, find out where her books are. A lot of great books for adoptive parents and how to deal with this. Let me send you a copy of Healing is a Choice, and I hope that that'll be a blessing to you. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, you call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Hi, Steve Arterburn here. I'm really looking forward to being with a lot of wonderful people at our Life Recovery Conference. It's a great time to get a little boost in your recovery, gain some new insight from some great people who understand addiction, recovery, and all that the 12 steps can do down the path toward healing and hope and wholeness. Come join us for the Life Recovery Conference. It's always a great time for anyone who's interested in what are those 12 steps and how better can I utilize them in my life and my recovery. You can even learn how to run a group. Maybe you never thought about doing that, but you'll feel competent and confident after the Life Recovery Conference.
The Life Recovery Conference is coming to Orange County, California, Saturday, October 6th. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to liferecoverygroups.com.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Find out more information about New Life or any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
You know, Dave, it's just a great example of, it's not what happens to you, but it's how you react to what happens to you. Mm-hmm. It's not where your child comes from, it's how you react to where they came from and or what they've been through. It really does make a difference. Let's go.
And you know, the whole connection thing is so important with adoption.
Right.
That you've got to work extra hard in those early years to form that foundation where, because there has been a woundedness in that the original mom is gone.
Yeah. Okay, let's jump over here to Jason, Carmichael, Pennsylvania. WORD is the station. Hi, Jason. Welcome. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Great. What's going on in your life today?
Well, I just started listening to you guys maybe about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, and we just had a situation come up in the family that's kind of confusing, and I don't really know how to deal with it. My wife and I, we've been married for about 7 years, mm-hmm. and she had a child before we were married. He's 12 years old, and we have a 6, 4, and a 9-month-old.
Mm.
And our 12-year-old just recently said about a week ago, he asked my wife what she would do if he killed our 6-year-old son.
Okay. And what was her reaction to that?
Well, her initial reaction, she said, I'd kill you. You know,
mm-hmm.
she thought about it for a second. She took it back and she said, look, she says, you know, I wouldn't do that, she says, but I'm just scared that you would do something. She said, I was just trying to scare you into, because she didn't know what he was thinking, and we really don't know if it was an actual threat or if it was just something that, it just seems like a very off-the-wall thing to say.
Well, it certainly isn't something that most kids ever say. It isn't like you can't say, okay, well, you know, he's just going through a phase. It's serious business. Dave, what do you think? What would you do?
I mean, he's looking at the natural son of both of you and probably feeling left out in some way. But the fact that he said it out loud is interesting. And one of the things I would do, Jason, as his stepdad, is I would get with him sometime and take him to McDonald's or something and then just kind of sit there. And as you're sitting there, saying something to the effect that that was a strong statement you made about your brother, and help me understand kind of what that means and why you know you have those thoughts. Try not to make him bad for it, but to at least be able to talk with him about it to find out more about it. You can't just let it sit. You know, you probably ought to have some counseling at some point because, you know, kids are impulsive at that age and you never know what they're going to do. But you can't just let it go without knowing what was behind that and, you know, what was going on inside of him. So that's what I would do. And as I think he needs the male figure to kind of listen. Don't get all uptight and upset about it to where you make it worse. But, you know, just say, you know, it's okay. Just tell me kind of what you're feeling. Mm-hmm. Are you feeling displaced by him? Is he kind of taking your place as being the, you know, the main kid? You know, you might suggest some things if he'll probably say, oh, I don't know. That's what kids do.
Well,
you know?
when somebody says they might kill someone, it usually means that they're very angry at that person. So tell me why you're angry at him. Has he done something to you? And then when the answer is no, then you might conjecture that the anger might be over the fact that, you know, he's part of
the family, and you're only half part of the family in your mind, you know, and something like that. So
he may not even know until you say that out loud, and then it might help him to understand. I would be saying, number one, minimal action, him in front of a counselor that specializes in 12-year-olds or adolescents, young adolescents, tweens, at a minimum. And then, you know,
somebody does play therapy, not talk therapy.
And you really, I think you have to say to yourself, you know, this child might have to be sent away to protect himself and protect others. That might be an option. The worst thing you want
in your mind, you might, but you don't say that.
No,
to
don't
him.
Say it to him at all. Hmm. But you have to say, okay, this may not turn out well, but however it turns out, I'll do what I can to protect this boy from ending up in prison or something, and protect other children from being hurt.
Now, does he have any behavior problems at school or anything like that? Does he get into fights?
Not really at school that I know of. I mean, he's not very nice to other kids. I do know that, and he's not very nice to his uncle. He's got an uncle that's pretty much the same age as he is, and he's not very nice to him, and he's not. He's pretty rough with the kids. He always has been. We've always had to tell him, you know, take it easy with the kids. And my wife and I did sit him down and talk to him. You know, and we did that. It didn't get to a heated argument or anything like that. We just told him that we were very concerned about it, you know, because we felt like it wasn't just the average thing that somebody might be thinking. And we asked him if he was angry at our son, and of course he said no. And we did talk to him about, you know, maybe wanting to go talk to somebody, you know, maybe a counselor or something like that. And his response is, well, those kind of people don't work on me. So,
well,
you know, we're just kind of, and I'm wanting to do something because my wife and I have argued for years because he lives with his father. Her son does. He lives with his father. He's a convicted felon, armed robbery, just the whole not a real great situation.
Hello.
And
that's important information.
and he's got custody of him. So the only reason he ended up with custody is because he threatened my wife. My wife went to go join the military. He threatened her because you can't have custody of a child when you join the military as a single parent. So he threatened to hurt people in her family. And of course, knowing his past, she believed it. So she gave him custody. with the premise that she was going to get custody back, 50% custody back once she got out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that never did happen. The judge won't change that. So, you know, and his father repeatedly talks about me and stuff like that, and talks about my wife and
that puts a whole different spin on it, Jason. I mean, he's in a very toxic situation,
a high risk situation.
Oh wow!
You could also say that once again there could be a genetic predisposition toward criminality, and so
especially when you're living with that person,
you've got a really serious situation on your hand that you just don't want to treat lightly. And I, you know, my goal would be to get him out from under the influence of a father like that.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying that right now. You know, we're in contact with the counselor right now. We're just trying to get one initial session. That way we can find out if the counselor says, look, he needs to be in counseling no matter what, then we can go to a judge and say, listen, you know, this is what's going on. And the hope is to get a court order, because without his father's consent, and we know his father's not going to he's not going to allow it.
Hey, wait a second. If you call Child Protective Services and said this child has threatened our child, here's the living environment. We would like for you to investigate that. We can't have you know. It's got to be confidential, or this guy literally could come over and kill us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then maybe you can solve this somehow.
And I'm trying to talk to my wife about it, because that my initial reaction was, look, we need to contact CPS because of the fact that he doesn't live with us all the time.
Yeah.
And like I said, my wife and I have argued throughout the years, you know, as far as like discipline with him. And, you know, he said some very, very vulgar things to my wife before. And she kind of just fluffs it off and doesn't do anything about it. And, you know, I listened to your show. I actually tried to call last week when this first happened, and while I was listening, I had the radio turned down, and you said the best advice I could give for a step-parent is, so I just instantly shut the phone off and you know, to be that father, to be that fun stepfather, to be that fun step-parent. And I thought that was really great advice. And
well, might be a little difficult.
Yeah, and you've got
situation.
7 years now, so you can move beyond that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I just wanted to, and that's how I was feeling. I just felt like in this situation, but like I was saying, my wife and I, we've argued because I've always felt like she's too lenient. And I know for a long time she used to tell me that she didn't want to punish him because she felt like she was trying to befriend him, because she feels like she doesn't feel close to him after all this time apart from him. And she's trying to befriend him. And in doing that, she's not really doing the mother role. She's doing more the friend role, which is what he's getting at home with his father. He's not getting parenting over there. They're best friends. They just want.
Well, I'll tell you, if there's no one in his life that is introducing him to the concept of consequences, that's pretty tough outcome that you're messing with there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You got a big task ahead of you there, Jason. So we'll be praying for you.
Sounds like you're there for a reason. You're the sane mind.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back after this. Hi, this is Steve Arterman from New Life Live. We have something pretty exciting coming up, and it's in March. It is a trip to Israel. Our trips are very special, and the teaching is rich. The experience is priceless. And we're also going to go to Rome in addition to it. It's the 16th through the 26th.
When I went to Israel, my whole view of the Bible absolutely changed. I had a reference point to visualize.
Yeah. We're going to go where David hid from Saul, Jericho, the tunnels under the Western Wall, and the Temple Steps, the Garden of Gethsemane, Masada, the Dead Sea, Mount of Olives, the Garden Tomb, Caiaphas' house, and more.
For me now, when I open up the Bible, it just becomes alive for me because I've been there.
You will not be disappointed in Israel. It is a special, rich, rich time. If you want more information on Israel, I hope you'll look at it on our website, newlife.com.
Every time we try to talk, it just turns into a fight. I am so tired of arguing.
I don't understand. God, why did you take him from me?
I don't want my kids to think of me as the angry dad.
husband. How did we become this distant?
I hate looking in the mirror. No matter what I try, nothing seems to work.
I just feel like my world is spinning out of control.
I feel so broken. Could God ever heal me?
Is it ever going to get better?
I feel like I'm drowning.
When will I learn to just breathe again?
It doesn't have to be this way. 48 hours can change your life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for this classic program from the archives of New Life Live. If you're hurting and New Life can help, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to the program.
All right. Well, we were just talking at the break, and
I think that his calling CPS, the Child Protective Services, is really essential because that can get at some of the things that they don't have the power to get at.
Right.
So you're going to send them what? Raising Great Quick Kids? They've
we'll
got
do that.
Three others that they need to know what
we'll
to
do it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. By the way, I was just working on my little note, my thank you note to all the people that support this ministry. If you can't tell, we are extremely grateful to anybody that supports this ministry, and it means a lot to us that you're with us. Whenever we meet you in person, we discover that we are very much alike in how we think and feel and view the world. Mm-hmm. And not everybody thinks and feels and views the world that way. So it's wonderful. And thank you for doing it.
And at the New Life Weekends, we get to meet a lot of the people. And that's really fascinating to me.
It sure is.
Meet the people who are out there really listening.
Bill, you're our final caller today. And I'm thankful that you called from Pittsburgh, listening on WORD. How could we help you?
Well, I've been having this feeling for the last couple months, and I don't know if it's just a job or just my life in general, but I've been getting this feeling like I'm supposed to be doing something better, something more with my life, and I just, if it makes sense, I don't know how to know how what I'm supposed to be doing, like there's something I'm missing.
Okay, tell me the worst thing that you've ever been through in your life. Biggest mistake you made or horrible mistake someone made that hurt you? Anything like that that you could share with us?
I think I was 12 and I got caught shoplifting. My father was in the military for about 20 years, and it was on a military base that it happened.
Mm-hmm. Do you love kids? Do you love kids? Do you like kids or not?
Yes, I have two kids of my own.
Okay. Mm-hmm. What if you and your kids developed a little program that went to military bases and helped kids adjust to the military life? It was fun. It was funny. You shared about shoplifting and how because you didn't feel loved, you felt like if you stole something or got something from somebody else, it was like a replacement for love or something like that. I'm just throwing something out that you can take a crummy thing. And when you're looking for some way to make a difference, you go reach out to someone else who might be going through that same crummy thing.
Okay.
Okay, here's what I think Steve's saying to you, Bill. What kind of work do you do now?
I work for a sewer authority.
Okay. So you kind of keep sewers working?
Yes.
Not very meaningful.
Oh,
I mean, it keeps the society working, but it doesn't have. See, what I think is missing is something in your life that feels meaningful to you.
Well, see, I'm also an EMT, a volunteer EMT,
okay.
And a firefighter.
Okay.
And that fulfills my need to help people.
Uh huh.
But I don't know. This feels like I should be doing something more with my life, like not just in the sewers, just. I have no idea. It's just hard to describe it. I even get choked up thinking about it because it feels like something's pushing me to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to recognize the signs or what I'm supposed to be doing.
And how old are you?
I'm 26.
Oh, that's a little early. That sounds like a midlife but, transition
yeah,
time.
Or a quarter life that maybe you're going through. Well, I think this is a wonderful time for somebody to be asking, what is it I could do that would add meaning and purpose and depth to my life?
That's you're an EMT. That's meaningful. You're helping people, saving their lives. But I would also consider talking to your pastor, say, you know, what is there going on in the church where I could have a meaningful kind of involvement, and get that word meaningful in your head, and see, there are certain personality types where if things aren't meaningful, it just really wears you down, because there's a need for meaningfulness, and I would work with that and see where that takes you.
Hey, let me make give you two scenarios, Bill. Okay, you ready?
Yep.
One scenario is that you've got a very good life, but you're just a nutcase who's never satisfied with anything, okay? The other scenario might be the Holy Spirit is really working to bring you to a new life, a different life of greater meaning, and you're sensing a calling upon your life that may result in the most fantastic adventure that you've never even dreamed of experiencing. I'm going to tend to go with that second scenario there.
Yeah.
I believe God is waking up something in you, making you aware of things that a lot of times people they're not aware of them until they're 36 or 46. And I would say this, whatever you do, take the spiritual journey that you've been invited to be on, and don't stop asking this question. You ask it to us, you go talk to your pastor, you ask it in groups, but go find that life that I think you're being called to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
All right.
And I'm going to send you a copy of Being Christian. I think you'll like it. And I'll also send you the new book, Regret-Free Living, and I hope that'll be a blessing to you. Thank you for calling us, Bill. Hold on. All right. Man, I tell you, a lot of times people are just sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and doesn't make sense other than the fact God has a new plan. I want to read something to you about the New Life Weekend. This is from Liz, and she said that she had struggled with the same issues for many years and told many people about what was going on at home with her husband and kids, and not one Christian ever felt the need to confront her husband or even inform her that his raging behavior was abusive, including the counselors never told her that.
Huh.
On the New Life Weekend, it was eye-opening and brain-draining. Why did it take this long for someone to hear what I've been saying? Why now, after years of damage and destruction, and not so long ago? It feels like no one has been listening to me, not the perpetrators or God or Christian counselors, but I leave here with serious work to do to remain surrendered to biblical beliefs rather than what I feel is true, and even more serious work in protecting myself and the others from the rage of my husband. If you're willing to admit that you have any kind of problem in life, you would benefit from attending this New Life Weekend. And I know this person, and she really did. Here's another person that says, I found myself slipping away and falling into a pit that I could not get myself out of, no matter how hard I tried. But the weekend was a blessing to see that I don't have to put myself down and head back. I can pick up the pieces of a scattered life, and I can give it to God, and I leave here with a sense of God's purpose and timing. You know, a lot of people come to New Life Weekend. They're not in horrible shape. They just need to be in better shape.
Mm-hmm.
I have another one here of a person that went from feeling she had lost all hope to having a rebirth. If you need some help, we want to help you. Would you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE? Ask about the Everyman's Battle Workshop or the New Life Weekend or a counselor in your area or a drug or alcohol problem being treated. We have so many resources, and all you have to do is pick up a phone and dial 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the key to a whole new life. Well, Dave, thanks for being with me today.
Good to be here.
And all of us, I appreciate you. You're one of the best, and please forgive me for saying you're the oldest living therapist, but it is, in my mind, you have a great place of respect because you were one of the first pastors that kind of stepped out and said, I think I'm going to go a different way here. Mm-hmm. And it really has made all the difference in the world to a lot of people, including me. All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks for joining us today. We love you. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you can help us or if we could help you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.